Blog Talk Radio.
Catalano with us. Hi, Lee.
Hi there, Ruth Ann.
I'm so glad to have you here because this is going to talk about the stress and how we manage it at holiday time. And I know that, you know, it's not that it just comes for 6 weeks and then it's gone, because we have these issues sometimes throughout the year, depending on our family and friends and et cetera. But it seems like we're coming upon the, at least in the U.S., the time of year when we have more parties, more get-togethers. We have Thanksgiving, Christmas, Kwanzaa, different things going on. And meat always seems to be a major part. You know, Thanksgiving, people think turkeys. And I just wonder, have you run into problems with this?
Well, I have a lot to say about this, Ruthanne. Are you ready?
Oh, go for it.
Well, I think what has happened is there's a speed up with the internet and all the technology, and everybody has moved away from the art that goes on in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And what goes on in the kitchen is the art of love. And we don't want to take our time in the kitchen anymore and create beautiful handmade food and think about the people that we love. We want everything fast. I know that it's a big deal. People want to have their Thanksgiving dinners catered. So as far as being a vegan on Thanksgiving goes, it doesn't matter what your diet is, even if you're a meat eater, all the things that really strike our memory about Thanksgiving past are the flavors. And you, if you're a meat eater and you were going to eat turkey that had no seasoning in it, you would find it absolutely repulsive.
Right.
So what I would suggest to anybody who's listening out there is think of the foods that you really love that turn you on for Thanksgiving, and think about the seasoning. And all of those seasonings and all of those flavorings can be worked into beautiful vegan dishes. And if we can acknowledge that we're out of the practice of being in the kitchen and cooking for the people that we love, and it's actually a beautiful spiritual practice to put foods together and think about the people that we love. And when we do that, who could not come to the table? Who would refuse?
Well, and what you say is true. It's not just being in the kitchen. It's having other people there in the old days, or, you know, back when, it seemed like it was just the women would be hustling around the kitchen. But now it seems like, well, I know my Thanksgiving dinner is, my main one is always the day after, because we have a big pagan Thanksgiving for people who may have had to spend the actual day with people they didn't like that well. So my brother and I, we love to cook together anyway, but, you know, we'll spend the day Friday in the kitchen just really enjoying and putting, like you say, lots of love into it. And as far as the flavors go, you know, sometimes it will taste come and go, but I get all the things that I remember getting as a child, even though I was eating meat back then. I can get all of that. Like you say, it's spices and herbs and the love, and it comes. But I've had some people say that, you know, being vegan, they've just found it easier to totally opt out, and they stay home.
Well, I think that's a larger issue. I think that that's a much larger issue than veganism. I am the only, I have a really large spiritual family. And when we go and have Thanksgiving, there will probably be anywhere from 50 to 80 people at Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
And nobody is even going to notice or even care. I'm going to make a casserole, and my daughters are both vegan. You know, we're the Boston Vegan Family. Find our blog if you're so inclined. I make this dish, and pasta. I put in organic, gluten-free pasta noodles. I put in sweet potatoes and scallions and cranberries, and then I do a sauce of honey, soy sauce, and mix in a little water so it's not quite so strong. And I mix it all in, and those are all the flavors of Thanksgiving. And my kids ask me every year if I'm going to make that. So I'll bring a big, huge bowl of it to the Thanksgiving dinner. And, of course, there are going to be things there that are plant-powered, that are vegan, that the hostess just doesn't call them that. You know,
right.
I can get into actual food items, and you can make sweet potatoes with marshmallow on top. You can order brown rice fluff online that's all completely vegan, and the stuff is delicious, and you can put it on top of your sweet potatoes. You can easily make a hearty gravy out of onion and soy sauce and put a little salt and pepper and onion and gluten-free organic flour in there and make an beautiful gravy.
Oh, I make an excellent brown gravy. Yeah.
Yes.
There's so much that you can do like that. And we always have like a lot of roasted veggies that we cut up and put in. Whether, you know, we do like the roasted root vegetables. Hello there. Who do we have on?
Ruth Ann, hi, it's Mark Gilmore.
It's Mark. Okay, Mark Gilmore, and Lee Catalano is on right now with us too. She's from the Boston Vegan Family .blogspot.com. And we're just talking about some ideas to take to these dinners. You know, so there's I grew up in the Midwest, and everything, trust me, had meat in it. And when I came back here, you know, I had forgotten that. And I remember going out with my mother and I ordered vegetable soup, right? And here it came with these great big chunks of beef in it. And, you know, well, she ate it. But I know a lot of people, well, you know, I had forgotten that vegetable soup was sometimes beef vegetable. Usually they would say that. But you do have to be careful then when you go to the potlucks and things. But I got to say, we do a great roasted root, and this year we're also going to have roasted cauliflower because a friend of ours just told us about it. It sounds so simple. And I always do scalloped corn. It's sort of like Lee was talking about a salad, a casserole, that's her trademark for their spiritual Thanksgiving group. And when I was vegetarian, you know, the scalloped corn was easy enough. I'd throw an egg in and organic, but you know, now I know more about that. And some cheese. But last year, I made it without the eggs, and I did use some vegan cheese, which this year I think I'm going to forego. But people didn't know the difference. And a lot of times, if they know you're vegan, they really try to help out, I've found. You know, they don't want to give up the meat and meat products, but man, are they on top of it for me. So, you know, once they know, that's it. I don't know. Mark, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
You know what? I'll tell you, this year is going to be a little different. You know, I was diagnosed recently with celiac disease, which seems to be plaguing a lot of us vegans after a few years of eating gluten. And I have my own theory about why that's happening. You know, there's a guy that wrote a book called Wheat Belly. And he speaks about the reason that people have allergies to wheat now as opposed to 50 or 60 years ago. And what he's saying is that the wheat that we're consuming now is a completely different animal from the wheat that our grandparents consumed.
Yes, right. You know, it's completely different than it was 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah, it's been modified so drastically, it's now creating a different protein that is really not digestible to humans. And that's what's ultimately causing these problems. But anyway, getting back to your question, so this year has to be a little different for me because, you know, I used to always cook the great un-turkey, which I would make from scratch, and I had been doing that for years, and I can't do that this year. So I do have a great recipe. There's this wonderful cookbook called the Shoshone Cookbook that was written by Ann Sachs and Faith Stone, and they have this wonderful tofu. It's kind of like a tofu roll, and it's got, you know, it's a little involved, but it's a lot of fun to make, and it's got stuffing, which, you know, I can make any stuffing gluten free very easily. And then to complement that, I always make my own cranberry relish. I have a great recipe for mac and cheese that I make gluten free. I have a wonderful recipe that I got compliments of Alicia Silverstone for a sweet potato casserole. We always have some kind of greens on the menu, whether it's kale or collards or, you know, or something to that effect. And, you know, we've always got a sweet potato pie or a pumpkin pie. And, you know, this year the only difference is that the pie shell is gluten-free. So, you know, it's basically a standard vegan Thanksgiving fare minus the gluten and minus the dead animals.
Right. So you will have people that you're feeding. Are they all vegan or not?
Yeah, this year, anybody that's sitting at my table for the most part is vegan. I have fed non-vegans that have reluctantly come and eaten and then been completely and pleasantly surprised to find that there was more on the menu besides tofu that they could enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, that the one recipe that I found that was the sweet potato casserole, which is really yummy, I forwarded that to a friend that I used to work with who has a stepson that's vegan. And, you know, she was always buying him a tofurkey and cooking that for him at their Thanksgiving dinner, because everybody else at the dinner table, of course, was non-vegan. So she'd make him his tofurkey, and he would be satisfied, and that was it. Well, I shared this recipe with her, and I said, here, try this and see if your stepson likes this. And she came back to me, and she said, Mark, that recipe was the hit of my Thanksgiving, and my poor stepson was lucky if he got a fork full of it, because everyone absolutely loved this dish. And it wasn't, she said, and to, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, your Thanksgiving dinner, the only thing really that's non-vegetarian is the turkey. And she said, but you know what, I didn't say anything to them about this being a vegan dish because I didn't want them to, you know, to squirm or to make faces. And yeah, after it got raves, she said, I told them, hey, I, by the way, I got this from my my friend who happens to be a vegan, and he gave it to me so I could share it with my stepson, and you guys have basically eaten his side dish that I was making just for him. So, you know, one of the things that I like doing, you know, is surprising people. You know, when I do have non-vegan friends over, I try to make it light and I try to make it fun. Right. And, you know, I've encouraged them if they want to bring a dish that is not meat-based, you know, to bring it.
The potluck is great. We were talking about that earlier, about the love and attention that goes into it and how people have gotten away from that when they just order out and have the whole Thanksgiving dinner catered. But you mentioned sweet potatoes, and that's something Lee and I have talked about before because we're both big fans. I don't think I've ever had a sweet potato that I didn't like, except if it had a bunch of marshmallows in it.
Right. Well, and by the way, too, if you've never tried it, I'll find the recipe, which I have on my PC, and I'll post it in a couple of vegan groups. Okay. If you've never tried them, find I guess they're called fire red yams. They are. I usually buy them at Whole Foods, the organic ones, and you know, and they're this bright, lovely fire orange color, and they're sweet. And I prefer to make that sweet potato casserole with the yams instead of the sweet potatoes because it becomes such a beautiful, vibrant, colorful dish. And it's usually one of the first recipes that people go for because they see that beautiful red color, and it's, you know, we're always attracted with our eyes first and then our stomach second.
Right, and you bring up a very good point because a lot of times I see people order out some type of meat and potatoes and gravy, and it's all mixed up and brown, and you know, it's not appetizing. Of course, every time that we order something, because we try to eat the rainbow, and ours is always gorgeous, and they're always wanting some of it. So at a potluck, Lee was talking about the casserole. Lee, that has the sweet potatoes, and you've got the cranberries, so you've got orange and red. And what else did you put in it?
We do scallions, and I put some pasta in there. And the sauce has all the Thanksgiving flavors in it, but I kind of come at it from a different angle, and I'm full-blown plant-powered. I have a blog. We have a YouTube channel. My Facebook page is all about plant-powered. But in everyday life, I don't talk about it. And if you came to my house and you are a meat eater or not, you're going to be vegan for whatever meal or plant-powered whatever meal you eat. And I have two beautiful grown women daughters. So we've had men, we've had the Coast Guard, we've had a lot of dudes around the table, and we don't even mention that we're plant-powered. And they just eat, and they like it, and that's that. We don't make a big deal out of it. Spiritually, I try to be really careful. I'm trying to move away from divisiveness, and I'm not really comfortable with the whole vernacular of vegans and non-vegans. And so I really just try to be a demonstration of it in my life. And you can tell by seeing me that something's going on because I'm 50 and I'm very vital and I run and I'm at my ideal weight, and it's because I eat plenty, but I eat plenty of the organic plant-powered stuff.
Yeah, and I don't have any problems with people letting people know that they're vegan, and in fact, as soon as possible, I have to set a time, though, because of where I live, I'm getting the 269 tattoo. I'm very into animal rights and all this. I'm not in your face with anyone. I started to say earlier that I found that a lot of people actually will try their best once they know. I was in Cleveland over the weekend and went to a dinner party. We have family, a band there, so we go when we can. And the one couple threw a dinner party for us. And, I mean, I hadn't thought anything about it because I knew there'd be something I could eat. But then somebody else said, oh, you know, she was getting scared because she didn't know what to cook for you. And, you know, I find that so funny. It's touching, but it's funny because I'll eat anything, you know, really, as long as it doesn't have meat or not meat or animal products, which gives us a lot of space. But a lot of people don't realize that. You know, they find out you're either vegetarian or vegan, and they first thing they do is, well, what do you eat? Where do you get your protein? How do you live? And it's you know, it seems so simple because I've done it for so long. But I do like it then when people, you know, I told her later she didn't have to go out of her way. She fixed a lovely meal, and there was meat for the everybody else, meat eaters. But I found often that people will go out of their way because they don't want to be the ones that cause you any kind of pain or grief. I've been watching on Facebook, and you've probably all seen it too. Some people have just been refusing. It's like, okay, well, I'm not going to the relatives because they insist on having turkey or something. How do you feel about that?
I'm going to a Thanksgiving dinner where there'll be a big turkey there, and it's not up for me to decide what other people eat. That's how I feel personally. And I don't hide that I'm vegan, but I don't open the groundwork for a discussion about it. And I would be really uncomfortable if people knew that I was coming and went out of their way to. It makes me uncomfortable for people to go out of their way and accommodate a veganism because you know what? I bring my own food. To me, it's not about the food. I eat in this way, as laid out in the Essene Gospel of Peace by Jesus, and that's my calling. That's my passion. That's what I want to do, and I can't decide that for other people. And the best I can do is do the best that I can do. And like I said, I walk as a demonstration of it. And I think a demonstration of being healthy and vital and gentle speaks way louder than what the menu is.
Well, so my question is, would you advise these people who say that they aren't going to go to a family dinner or friends because there's going to be meat?
I think it's a deeper issue. I think sometimes people are looking for a reason not to go. I think it's a deeper issue, and I don't want to see animals tortured and killed for Thanksgiving any more than anyone else does. But I think there's a larger issue, and if you go walking into a Thanksgiving dinner, which I will do, looking all vital and healthy, and you have your little food that you're gonna stash for when it's dinner time, so not make a big deal out of it, and people can see that you're eating something different. You know, however old you are, if you're eating an organic vegan diet, if you're getting some movement and you're eating a animal-free, animal product-free diet, you have a certain vitality, or else you're a junk food vegan. And if you have a certain amount of vitality, people want to know what you're doing. And sometimes they don't want to do. So I really ask for inspiration. And when people come to me, I'll talk about it every day, all day long. But I don't stick anybody's nose in it because food and sex are the two biggest addictions in this world. And when you try to screw around with what people are eating and they feel like you're kind of pushing something on them, you could very well have a fist fight at your Irish Thanksgiving dinner.
Which some families do anyway. Mark, what do you think? If somebody is, they just, they've had it with their family, they're always made fun of or whatever, and for their food choices?
you know what? I am one of those people. I was the first in my family to go vegan. Mm-hmm. And I've been vegan for 23 years. There was no one in my family that was vegan or that understood me when I went vegan. And I decided very early on that I would not place myself in an environment that I felt uncomfortable in. So if I missed intentionally a lot of holiday dinners because my mind, you know, when I initially went vegan, I was very actively involved in animal rights. And I could not bring myself to sit at a table with people that were eating dead animals. Regardless of how healthy I felt, there were dead animals being served at that table, and that was not a place of comfort for me. So, you know, each person has to decide for themselves what's right for them. But for me, I had to protect my own personal mind and, you know, the place that I was at the time. Would I go to a Thanksgiving dinner now with turkey being served? The answer is no, absolutely not. I still wouldn't after 23 years because I'm at a point now where I don't make excuses for my diet. I think I'm like everyone else. I'm very comfortable with where I'm at now, so I don't go out of my way to advertise that I'm a vegan, but I'm still very vocal because, you know, I'm an ethical vegan. And I think it's very different when you're an ethical vegan versus someone that's a vegan that finds veganism for health reasons initially and then explores the ethical beliefs later on. Because when you're an ethical vegan, everything that has a faith is going to come up at some time or another, and you can't avoid it. So, you know, I just prefer not to place myself in a position where I have to discuss it.
Okay, that makes sense. I am going to be where there's turkey. But since I will be doing a lot of the kitchen stuff too, if I'm near somebody, I'm not going to be sitting across from somebody who's shoveling it in, because if it looks like I will get up and leave the table, because I can do that. I can go serve something.
Roseanne, are you there?
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, I just became vegan again for the last 2 years, but I was macrobiotic for all through my 30s, so I'm not new to this. And
right.
And as far as animal rights go and animals, I'm madly in love with animals, and I'm not down with animals being slaughtered. And if you visited my Facebook page or my blog, you'd see that. But I'm not going to war with other human beings about what they're eating, and I'm just not doing it. I'm not any less committed than somebody doing it for ethics or health. I think it's a gift on all levels.
Well, I do too. I think it's all connected. People do go into it for different reasons. I went into it for the ethical reasons. The health and the spiritual effects were complete bonuses. And now they're all so interconnected. It's very hard to separate.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know people who, they've said, I was a vegetarian for 6 months. Well, they were no more vegetarian than my meat-eating cat. They may have been eating a vegetarian diet, but eating a vegan diet or a vegetarian diet, in my opinion, doesn't make you vegan or vegetarian. because I think that somewhere the ethics have to come in too. You can follow the diet for 6 months and then you're off. So if it had touched your heart, you know, who knows?
Well, what got to me was people being very gentle and putting the information out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, I never influenced my family in becoming vegans. They just saw what was going on with me. And when I watched the movie Earthlings, I didn't even need to watch it. I got 10 minutes in and could not even speak about it. And my family members who were asking me about it saw me being so emotional, which is really not my typical way of being.
Right.
And it was really a thing of demonstration. So I find that through gentleness and just putting the information out there, being a demonstration of vitality, and people saying, you know, what's going on here, and then through that, however, whatever angle they come through, and then they can start hearing about animals. But there's a tremendous amount of guilt, unconscious and fully conscious, around the abuse of animals, a tremendous amount. And people have to kind of be brought down to be able to take a look at it. Because once you see what's really going down with the animals, it's so mind-blowing that I think most people can't even look at it. They can't even see it.
Yeah, that's why we deal with that disconnect. Because these people who are more than willing to eat meat, yet they have puppies and kitties that they cuddle with all the time.
Yeah.
And they're just disconnected.
Yeah.
That's one of my friends who said that he was brought up in a society and family that practiced cruelty. And he's not doing that with his kids. They're into, every year they adopt a turkey from farm sanctuary.
Oh.
And, you know, of course their diet is no meat, no products like that. But, I don't necessarily think hitting somebody over the head is the best way to go about it. But, you know, just when they see all this scrumptious food, and every time you go to a potluck or something, you take something like that. It does make a difference. Do you think that either of you have, do you feel that you're adding to your life, or have you subtracted certain things? Like Mark says, he won't go to the dinner where the turkey is and everything. You don't feel that you're giving up anything, do you, Mark?
Oh, no.
No.
I don't remember what I was giving up, because I've been vegan for so long, you know.
Yeah.
So someone asked me, a friend of mine, and you know, it's very weird. I'm at such a comfortable place with my veganism now that I won't let anyone put me down for my diet, and they try.
Yeah.
I believe someone just said a few minutes ago that, you know, food and sex are two hot buttons for people. And, you know, a couple of years back, I was standing at the bus stop with a neighbor, and I was not bringing up veganism. I had a neighbor that I was catching the bus with that asked me what I was eating for Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him. So that gave him the opportunity to suddenly defend his choice for eating meat, which I thought was quite humorous, considering I never attacked him. You know, I didn't put him down for his choices.
Right.
I just said, this is what I'm having. And so he spent a whole 5 minutes informing me why he could never be vegan.
Yeah.
So I gave him a way out. I gave him the standard reply that I give people that place me in a defensive mode. And I basically stopped him and said, Nick, you haven't qualified to be a vegan. So don't worry about it. I'm not pushing my diet or my lifestyle on you. In fact, we wouldn't be having this conversation if you hadn't asked me what I was having. That was the whole purpose for me telling you. I'm not trying to convert you. If I were going to convert you, trust me, I'd do more than what I'm doing now. So, you know, I don't recall what a turkey tastes like. It doesn't really matter because it's such a far off distant memory that I'm not missing anything. So, I'm kind of thankful that I don't have to deal with with dinners that serve animal flesh, and I choose to have friends over to celebrate that understand and appreciate my lifestyle and what I'm serving.
Right. No, I and everybody is totally different, but what you're talking is just what Lee had mentioned about people have this enormous guilt, and that's what he had immediately.
Oh, yeah.
When he heard you were vegan, because he was doing his own excuses and why he couldn't be. And I do get that from people.
Well,
go ahead.
I wanted to tell you some of the things that I miss about not being a vegan. I miss not having sleep apnea. I miss not having about 30 pounds of extra flesh on my body.
Yes.
I miss not being able to exercise as hard as I want to. I miss feeling like I'm in a coma and needing to unbutton my top button when I get in the car to go home.
Before that. I mean, when you're
I miss waking up the Friday morning after Thanksgiving feeling hungover and horrible and not being as loving and available to the people around me as I could be. I miss the addictive process that kicks in when you have animal products, and they're not just the animals. They're so loaded with substances that you have no idea of what's in there to get you addicted to them. So the meat producing and the whole industry just makes money. And when you start eating this food, I miss that whole addictive thing where somebody could be speaking to you from their heart and your mind's on the buffet table. I miss that. And it's absurd. I miss absolutely nothing whatsoever, and I'm so extremely grateful for Jesus and the Essene Gospel of Peace laying it all out about veganism and staying away from animal products. And I'll get off the pulpit now. That's what I miss.
Oh, no. That's fine. Well, I just recently, and maybe it was on something that one of you could have even posted it. Today, there was a little video about casein, which is in so many things, like cheese and everything. And this is from the cows. And evidently, it is very addictive to us.
Yeah.
And, so like you're saying, the meat products and dairy products and all, they are addictive. And, and that's a natural product that comes from the animal. But by the time the factory farmers get through putting things in, heaven only knows what's in it.
I never thought that a person could be addicted to dairy products. To me, that was absurd. I have to tell you, I had an addiction to Irish cheese like a crack addict has to crack. And the things that they're putting in the food, Mark was talking about the change in wheat. If they anything that can be gotten away with to put into the animal products to keep you coming back to eat them, they're putting in there. When you choose to eat foods from the plant world and it's organic, it's in its natural state. These animals are so blown up with drugs to get them from birth to the plate as fast as possible, that if anyone, I don't care if you're a steak, anyone could go and see the absolute misery and disgrace that these animals live in It would bring us to our knees and cry, like, I don't need to see it. The movie was bad enough. I don't need to see it.
Right, but you at least you watched part of the movie. I somebody today also on Facebook had posted some group about anyways animals, and they were saying, you know, don't even be asking us not to post these pictures, because we're posting them because people need to see them. They need to know. And
well you can on Facebook, you can block it if it's too much.
Yeah, if somebody doesn't like it, they can block it.
Your level of guilt is too high and you can't handle it. You can just block it.
But, you know, if it comes in on your feed goes fast. It doesn't, you know, it either gets you or doesn't. But I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, they need meat. And some of them kill it themselves. They go out and kill deer, whatever. And they use every piece and on. But yet they need it. And when you say, well, why can't you eat what the deer ate? Well, no answer. Because they have that addiction.
So you go to a Thanksgiving dinner, and everybody I know is not a vegan. I'm ordained. I have a big spiritual life. I know a lot of people. And for me, and I believe that we're all inspired differently, and I think that the way Mark does it is really important, the way he's doing it. And I think that my being having an inner call to go where called, but I don't eat whatever's being served. I still stick with Jesus' words on what to eat.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And I think it's very important. And I thank God that people have the courage on their social media to send out these messages about what's really going on with the animals and what really happens. You know, I don't know about people's spiritual beliefs, but I believe that there's a lot of karmic debt by looking for satisfaction in the pain and suffering of the animals. If you are eating a cheeseburger, you are in a chain of pain and suffering.
Exactly.
But to get back to Thanksgiving Day, I'm a very strong matriarch of a big family. I'm a very strong Black Irish woman, and people don't ask me about my veganism. They want me to come, and I bring my own dish, and I'm respected. And people don't ask me about what I'm doing. They know, and so it's not an issue for me at all.
Right. It doesn't. I mean, I'm. Well, in the first place, the people that we get together for our big day after Thanksgiving are people that I don't necessarily see hardly any other time of the year. So for me, it's about spending time with people I care about but just am not able to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people take the precedence, and then the food. And the food is always wonderful. And like Mark had mentioned earlier, we've lost Mark, but it would just be the turkey and the dressing, the stuffing, that actually have meat in them. Like I was saying, where I grew up, I mean, green beans are going to have bacon in them, okay, because they put meat in so much. Or bacon fat in, you know, in vegetables and all. So, yeah, you do have to sort of watch that, but... I don't, because we do a lot of the side dishes ourselves, so I know what's in them, so I'm fine with it. But, I mean, I can eat just plenty, and if I let myself and got crazy, I could, you know, be like we were talking about loosening your pants, the buttons or something. But that is just totally nuts, that whole thing about while you're still at the table, or then, you know, guys used to go watch a football game or something, and the women did the dishes. And that's because the guys couldn't move. You know, that is truly gluttony, and it's not looked upon by any spiritual path as an ideal that I know of. So
it's the great temptation to darkness, and God, every spiritual path believes God's will for us is perfect happiness. And if you ask somebody after they have succumbed to the gluttony of the animal product Thanksgiving dinner, how you feeling right now? Everybody moans and groans and lets
up.
But I just wanted to say, I'd like to eat Thanksgiving dinner at Mark's house. I think what he's putting on the table sounds great.
It sounded so good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because that you know, I guess that's it. When people come to my house, there is no meat. The only meat in my house is whatever my cats are eating. And maybe if I would have started with them, at this point they'd be eating vegan, but I don't have to. I'm okay with that because they're older and it's probably not the thing to do. But I know some animals are fed a vegan diet and they seem to be doing quite well. But
Do you know, Ruthann, and I know that this flies in the face of the way a lot of people feel, but when I used to see PETA, and I was macrobiotic, and PETA was very radical and very in your face and very attacking, it was a real turnoff. Just their approach made me look the other way, and I was a vegan through macrobiotics. But there's something about a gentle approach that is completely different and just opened my eyes. And I think that there are a multitude of reasons for us to go to war with one another. And things that we feel, I'm sure there are things that I feel passionate about that my next door neighbor couldn't care less about. And I have to tell you straight up, if I found myself at war with people about veganism, I would never speak a word about it again. I'd be done because I don't believe that that's what Jesus wants. I don't believe he wants me to put on a horned hat and armor and go out there and go to war over veganism. I think that Jesus' way is to live through demonstration, to be gentle, steady, and definite.
Well, I think you can make a greater point because I've known a couple vegetarians that just made me cringe because they went on the fight when there was no reason. There was not even a reason to defend. I mean, they just jumped in with people who it wasn't even the topic. And that makes me cringe. But that's happened with me. I've been around other people with other issues that would just, they're really on the fight over what they're passionate about, but it doesn't gain them any admiration, and it sure doesn't make any points for the cause.
No.
Because, you know, a lot of us, I mean, we don't like to be hit over the head. And so what you're talking about, just living your life, and if people have questions, that's good. I don't have problem, I think, and I can't think of any real good reason to go to war, actually. And I think it's important to do it the way you're comfortable. And sometimes it's true, it doesn't hurt us to go a little out of our comfort zone because we learn a lot about ourselves then. But we have to be authentic.
Yes.
And so whatever, if you're not comfortable, and if the relatives really, I mean, if I had people who made fun of my choice, I would not want to be around them, whether it was the holiday or not, because I would feel they're disrespecting me to begin with.
Well, like we were talking about earlier, it's a larger issue.
Mm-hmm. But some people, I mean, it's strictly, it seems that is where they're coming from. And
well, If you are getting together with your family, there are people who use veganism as an attack, and they don't mind that everybody knows that they're vegan and they're checking out what the dishes are. Their nose is in the air, and it's a superior thing. There are a lot of vegans who have given veganism a bad rap, and they do use it as an attack, and then there's other people who are just doing what they're doing and moving along through life. And
right.
when people come here, you know, you have a lot of power in your hands when you cook for other people. It doesn't even matter what you're cooking, because
yes.
What you're literally doing is you're changing their blood quality just with just one meal. whatever that meal is that you're cooking, about an hour after you eat, you're all going to be sharing the same blood quality for a moment. And they say when you're having a dinner party, make spicy food. It makes people more social, more chatty. There are foods that mellow us out. Foods with less fat make us more energetic. And when you know the different effects of different foods, you can decide how you want the vibe to be at your dinner party. But with the traditional Thanksgiving dinner, the vibe is coma.
Yes. And that's sad, isn't it? It's a harvest festival. So we're supposed to be giving thanks for our harvest and our family and friends that we're gathered with. And like you say, if the predominant feature is coma, we're really way far off the target.
Right, right.
And when people talk, I mean, they do act like they haven't eaten in a week or so. They just can't wait for Thanksgiving dinner. And no, but I mean, it's so bizarre in this country because most people have eaten in the past week. And knowing that when you stuff yourself, you're going to be in this state, but yet, invariably, people do. And because of the courses and all you took, you probably know, like they talk about it takes 20 minutes, you should eat slowly, 20 minutes for your brain to know your stomach's full kind of thing. But what else is going on when people just keep eating? And the food is left on the table and they keep dipping into it. And then they're loosening their clothes and then they're wanting more dessert. What actually is going on with the body and the mind?
You know, if I had a rookie who is listening right now who didn't know what to do for Thanksgiving and wanted something really easy to do to bring all the flavors in, I would get some little squashes. And I would learn how to make a really wonderful gravy, a really wonderful, hearty, vegan gravy. And I would stuff those squashes with a healthy, organic, wild, and brown rice mix. And I would bake them, slowly bake them in the oven, and I would smother them with gravy and have a side of squash. And you can get organic cranberry sauce and some corn. And make a tofu cheesecake. They're so easy to make. And there you have turkey dinner. Thanksgiving dinner. It's so easy and it's so simple. It's not a big deal. So people who really have issues about, I don't know what I'm going to cook, I'm having non-vegans, or I'm going to go someplace and there's going to be meat on the table, you can make your own food and make it easily and just keep your mind on all the flavors. There are a lot of vegan things on the table for Thanksgiving already.
Yes.
You can make a gluten-free vegan stuffing. So easy. You can substitute coconut oil for anywhere you would use butter. You can substitute almond milk or soy milk anywhere where you would use standard milk. Switch in all of the sage and all the onions and all of those things that you would put into a traditional turkey dinner. It's not hard. It's really actually more simple, less ingredients.
Right, because and then you know that you're making it yourself. You're not getting all these preservatives. A lot of people buy stuffing mix, and I just saw that was one of the top 10 worst things, and it had the highest high fructose corn syrup actually in it. And I mean, it was just amazing what is in stuffing mix.
Yes, and if we saw these fast foods, these preparations that they put in the turkeys, people are in laboratory coats and rubber rubber gloves up to their armpits, putting the chemicals into these foods.
Right.
And then we are putting these chemicals into our bodies. And you wake up in the morning and your face is puffy and you feel lethargic like you were doing drugs the night before.
Because you were doing drugs the night before.
Exactly.
No, and that is just, it's inexcusable. I don't know any other word for it. But
I did want to mention, Mark had mentioned a book called Wheat Belly, and then he also mentioned the Shoshone Cookbook. And I know that he is on vegans on Facebook quite a bit, and he likes vegweb.com, VEGWEB.com. You have your website is www.bostonveganfamily.blogspot.com.
Yes, and he also mentioned Alicia Silverstone, who we really love too, and we have her link right on the front page.
Okay.
There's also a link on my front page to Christina Cooks, and she's a macrobiotic whole food chef. She's on TV as well, who has a ton of simple, just wonderful whole foods vegan recipes for free on her web. On her website. She's wonderful. There's a link there as well.
Okay. Yeah, there seems to be a lot of good vegan cookbooks and recipes around, and there's a lot of Facebook groups that some of them are vegan, pretty much totally recipes and food. I mean, others go into the animals. You know, I mean, they each just have a focus. And then there's the ones who have ideas for raw food and recipes and things. So if people want to find out, it's right now. I mean, this is the time. There's so much information out there.
Yeah.
But no, I'm looking for on Thanksgiving myself. Thanksgiving Day there will be no meat. The next day will be meat, but lots of good sides, and I'm going to enjoy people.
Yes,
because
yes.
That's what it's about.
We're going to our huge spiritual family on Thanksgiving Day, and then the next day. We're going to be having, you know, my immediate family here, who happens to all be vegan. We're going to have our vegan Thanksgiving feast here because I really like to cook. Yeah. No one's excluded. Non-vegans are welcome. It's just going to be what's on the table here the day after Thanksgiving.
Right. And that way we're going to be avoiding Black Friday and all that goes with it. As far as running around and spending money that doesn't need to be spent on things we don't need. So
exactly.
That's a good way to get around that. And so, Lee, I want to thank you very much. And Mark, even though he's not with us right now, you had some good points. And because there's never one answer fits all for this. So I know some people who are going to be having vegans, they really are worried about what they're going to feed them and if there'll be enough. But like we've said, most of the side dishes are vegan to begin with.
Right.
And no vegan is going to starve at a regular holiday dinner, whether
exactly.
It's Thanksgiving or Christmas. It's like we can take it. So thank you so much for coming in, Lee.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Indeed. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
In the beginning of September, you will find DaughtersDevices.com fully functional and waiting for you to go on over and make your purchases of any of our oils or our flower essence formulas or misters or powders, potions, and brews, because we've even got teas. That's the ancestor of aromacology over at DaughtersVices.com. Thank you now for coming by to see us. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Evening, everyone. Welcome again to another episode of 30 Minutes. I'm your host, Michael Staples, and this evening, my show is going to be a little different. I'm going to bring you 30 minutes of some of my favorite peace songs, or songs to do with peace. And, just sit back, relax, enjoy, have a glass of wine, and listen to some good tunes.
I must be leaving soon.
Mini-set, we had two by Love and Rockets. We started off with Ball of Confusion, followed by No New Tales to Tell. And then we had two by the Eagles, starting with I Dreamed There Was No War, and followed by It's Your World Now. And it is your world, and it's up to you to make a change in it. All right, so let's stay tuned for some more tunes.
Oh, no, 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 no. coffee, salad for my bread, tickets and dance for my bed too, but I know we're gonna walk, hey, the streets of freedom, yes, I know we're gonna walk, the streets of freedom, but when will it be, when will it be, when will it be, when will it be?
All right. So in that last mini set, we heard two by Clinton Fearon, Stop the Hate and Streets of Freedom, and two by John Lennon, Give Peace a Chance and An Abbreviated Power to the People. Everyone, thank you so much for listening tonight. Please tune in next week for another episode of 30 Minutes. And thanks again to Air Amatifio Radio. Evening, everyone. Welcome again to another episode of 30 Minutes. I'm your host, Michael Staples, and this evening...